Welcome to The Sojo Show with Jen and AJ, where you'll dig deep into God's Word alongside two imperfect, frequently ineloquent women as we discover fresh ways to walk out God's truth together. Welcome back to The Sojo Show. We are so happy that you are here listening to us. Today, we are starting a really cool little series on, well, I was going to say on the book of Joshua, but it's actually on the first part of the book of Joshua, because Joshua is jam-packed full of good stuff. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to help you understand, hopefully, how applicable this Old Testament book actually is to your everyday life. So I'm here with AJ. Say hello, AJ.
Hello.
Before we get started, I have a question for AJ. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready. I got my big girl pants on. I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. All right, this is a question you might know the answer to immediately, or you might have to think about for a minute. But has there ever been a time in your life where you have kind of taken over for someone else, assumed responsibility for something that someone else was doing, taken charge of something, filling some shoes? Have you been quote unquote? Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. So the absolute first thing that comes to mind, honestly, is when my husband and I were first church planting, and I had to fill in for somebody who got sick, and I had to fill in for them in the nursery.
The nursery.
And I'm telling you what, it was a fiasco for me to try to fill in. Cause you know, we tried to do like a little lesson with them. Cause you know, this was a church plant. So we had like the babies and the toddlers together.
Yeah.
And we tried to do a little,
I understand that.
So we tried to do a little lesson with the toddlers, and I was not prepared, and it was a fiasco. They like kept snatching the little cookie treats from the closet and like trying to run out the door. And I was like, what is happening?
So you had some big shoes to fill, and you did not fill them well.
I did not. I'm just I was thinking the whole entire time, if I keep them alive and safe, like confined in this one room, that's a success. Forget the study. Forget the little lesson. And if the parents come and their baby's eyes haven't been like swollen shut from crying because I cannot get to them. It was terrible.
So nursery ministry is not your particular calling then. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what you're hearing.
Okay. I want to give a little shout out to all of the people who work the nursery on Sunday morning.
Yes, for real. For real. That was the most stressful day of my life.
I like the way you're like, your one day, like this is the only time you ever wore the nursery.
Yeah, it's not, but I have to like mentally gear up for this thing.
That is cracking me up. That is not the answer I was expecting on this.
Well, maybe you shouldn't ask me questions anymore.
Okay. So yes. So for those of you who understand this dilemma, this nursery bit, side note, we planted a church as well. And so I like was in the nursery like every week for like months, right? Because I was the pastor's wife and there was no other regular. I mean, you came 3 weeks to our church plant and you were serving.
Yeah, that's right. That's
you
right.
Know, after week one, you were serving somewhere. After week three, you were serving in the nursery. And the nursery, of course, was all babies. And I had three of the kids that were like in the nursery. Yeah, I can see where that can be kind of stressful. And it's not really my gift either. But interestingly enough, did you know this is a little known fact? I actually created the curriculum for our toddler program because at the time there was no like curriculum. Like there was kids' church, and then under like four, they like just would run around and stick goldfish up their noses. Or like, what they did with you.
Exactly. And I'm like, and I was not a parent at that point. I think that is a very important.
Oh, that is a big.
I was not a parent.
That makes a big difference too.
Yes, it does.
So I created a curriculum for our baby. Now I obviously don't know. We have somebody who does that much better than I did now, but yeah, I can see the stress there. I can see it. That's fun. So I'm not sure how to pull this back into the reason that I asked.
I'm thinking there is a good reason why this question came up and I just kind of side railed it.
Okay. So I already mentioned that we're studying Joshua. So we're studying the book of Joshua. Well, the chapters 1-6 in Sojo Academy. If you're listening to us sort of lavish, January of 2023, almost said 2022.
Ooh, I know.
2023. And this is a great, great book of the Bible. And these are some really chock full chapters. As a matter of fact, AJ and I were sitting here thinking, what are we going to talk about? We could talk about this. We have all these ideas. But the deal is I think that it'd be a good idea to kind of do an overview of this. And the reason I asked this question is because I was going to say obviously, but it may not be obvious to you. In this book, it's about this leader, Joshua, man of God, called from God, who kind of filled the role that Moses had previously filled. Only the what he got to do was way cooler than what Moses ended up getting to do, because he actually was the one who led God's people into the promised land. And that is really what Joshua was about. So that's why I was mentioning that he had some really big shoes to fill, but it was really cool how God let him fulfill this promise. And you could go all the way back to see why Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land, because God had that promise. That promise was placed. The promise was to be fulfilled, but the promise was fulfilled later than what God's people thought it was going to be, or Moses probably thought it was going to be fulfilled. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. So can you just give us a brief overview of maybe of Joshua in general, but in particular, these first few chapters?
Yeah, sure. So just a bird's eye overview of the book of Joshua. We have the first few chapters, I would say chapters 1-5, is where God's people are preparing to enter the promised land. And then we move into chapters 6-12, it's the conquest of the land. After that, 13-21 is the allocation and possession of the land. And then chapters 22-24 is the call to serve God in the land. So basically, we're talking about the people of God entering into the promised land that had been given to them like 400 years prior to their actually taking possession of it, all the way back to the days of Abraham. So right. We see the timeline, you know, we see the story continuing from Abraham into the book of Joshua. And in the first chapter, like you mentioned, we see Joshua given the charge here to lead these people and to take over the role that Moses had been fulfilling in leading the people out of Egypt. So this is a significant call on the life of Joshua. And like, I was scared to take over my friend in the nursery. I mean, can you imagine how Joshua felt like, oh my goodness, nation? Yes, this is a pretty big deal. You know, this is a pretty big deal. And yet there is hope right there in that, in the very first verse of this chapter, that oftentimes we feel underqualified for the job. And yet God doesn't see it that way. You know, he does not see it that way. And one of the biggest reasons why we can be secure and confident in whatever God has called us to do is given right here in this chapter. He says he's with us, right, just like he was with Joshua, just like he was with Moses. He says, I am with you. The same God, the same promise, and it applies to us too.
Right. Well, and that's what's so cool about this particular book is that it transcends just the story of Joshua. Now, this to me, this point in history is so cool because, you know, of course, God had made this promise, as AJ mentioned, a long, long time ago. Moses has led his people out of Egypt. So we finally have this freedom, right, from the Israelites who were enslaved. So you're thinking at that point, if you're tracking the history of the Bible, you're thinking at that point, okay, promised land, here we come. They're leaving Egypt, going into the promised land. But then what happens is the Israelites, and this is not in Joshua, this is you back it up, the Israelites are, they're unfaithful, basically. right? They're questioning everything. They're thinking, man, we should have just stayed in Egypt as slaves because we're hungry and, you know, all these things. And they were not trusting it to the point where God said, okay, you will not enter the land. Your generation, all of you are going to die out before you enter the land, and the next generation is going to enter. So here's where we are. So we've got Joshua, who Moses has died. Just about everybody in the previous generation has died, right? And we've got this new generation of people who have not been really following faithfully after God. And God's like, okay, it's time. So not only does Joshua have this like mantle placed on him of I'm going to lead God's people into the promised land, but it's a struggle militarily. Is that a word? Let's go with that.
So. Sounds good.
And then you also have the struggle of these people who have grown distant from their God, right? So Joshua has got major challenges to overcome right here. Mm-hmm. And what AJ was saying is so true that God gives him the reason that he can fulfill this. He can do this because in and of himself, there'd be no way that he could accomplish the task of invading this foreign land that was much more powerful than they were as far as from a military and a earthly standpoint, and getting these people who are not accustomed to their faithful, to being faithful, to follow hard after God. And guys, I think this really is where some of us are now, as far as we are now. I mean, we're not obviously leading God's people anywhere, but we are trying to live faithfully in a land where it seems like the challenges are too great. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, right? It seems like, you know, there's so many that the world is so much more powerful, and the world is just is encroaching in on us. And sometimes it's hard to have faith that God can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And also just the fact that sometimes we live with ourselves and we see our own propensities and our own weaknesses, and it's hard to believe that God can change us personally too. You know, like maybe we've lived with something for so long that it's just like, okay, I'm always going to be this way, or I'm always going to have this in my life, or whatever the case may be. And Joshua is a great book to look at, to reevaluate those beliefs that we really hold to through the filter of, because over and over again, he says, even though there are giants in the land, even though there are chariots of iron, you have been given everything you need. Don't let that deter from the promise of God, because ultimately it's not about our ability to do it. It's about God's ability to do it and his promise to be there for us to actually fulfill it. You know, it all comes back to that again and again and again, trusting that God is who he says he is, and he's going to be there with us every step of the way.
Yeah. And praise the Lord for that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We couldn't do it without it.
I'm so thankful for that. The other thing I think is really interesting in this, and we're really just kind of honing in on Joshua chapter one, kind of looking at the big picture of Joshua today, but also that Joshua chapter one. So I'm going to encourage everyone to go and read Joshua chapter one. Okay. So that it, because it will encourage your spirit. But one of the things that I found interesting about this, you know, we talked about all the challenges and I'm sure Joshua had some of those questions about himself that you were just talking about, AJ. But if you look at, of course, the most popular verses, the ones that we know of are the ones, be strong and courageous. He says it several times. The Lord says it several times in just a few verses, because he's reminding Joshua, I'm with you. But then the part that stands out for me is in verse 10, he basically says, Joshua goes to all of his people. So he hears this from God. He hears this word from God that says, be strong and courageous. It says, you know, meditate on me. I will be with you. I will go wherever you go. So God's given him this. God's telling him this. And then in verse 10, Joshua goes to the people, to the officers, and says, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days, you're going to pass over this Jordan and go and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So Joshua is hearing this from God, let's keep in mind that Joshua 40 years ago did this whole reconnaissance mission and to the land. He was one of the two spies. If you go back and look, the two spies that said, we can do this. And everybody else said, no, we can't. And and that's when God said, okay, you're done. You're done. But so Joshua's kind of been through this, and now he's been wandering with Moses for all these years. And now all of a sudden, God says, be strong, stand strong, be courageous. And what does Joshua do? He goes to his people and he says, 3 days, you guys got 3 days, and we're crossing over and we're taking over the land. To me, that was one of the biggest things that stood out to me in chapter one, was the faithfulness of Joshua in remembering the things that God had done for them back all those years ago, how he brought them out of Egypt, the miraculous way he split the Red Sea, brought them out of Egypt. He remembered those things. And even though everything seemed a little bit wishy-washy and they had been wandering for so many years, even though all of that, he remembered God's provision through those years and providing the bread and providing, you know, for them over those years. And he said, okay, God, I'm going to tell my people in 3 days. And do we do that? Do we trust him enough to, when we hear him say, I am with you, which, spoiler alert, he says all the time through his word. Do we have enough faith to say, okay, let's do this?
Right. Well, that's a really good question. And actually, in our Sojo study this month on this passage of scripture, that's one of the questions that I ask, because ultimately, faith is a call to action. You know, we can't hear a promise from God's word or know who God is and stay rooted in our spot. You know, we have to take action on what we know to be true. And Joshua is a perfect example right here of doing just that. He didn't sit around and think about it or study it to death. He said, okay, it's time. After this very long wait, it's time. We're moving. Get ready. You know, and they took the action necessary. And I think that is just so critical for us to understand that faith is not just understanding something in our head. It is taking action on what we know to be true.
Right. And then the trickle down on that, and this is really cool too, because Joshua took that action and went to his people. The very next part of this, the people answered Joshua. These people who had basically, they did not have the best example, because their fathers and mothers had not been faithful. And so but these people said, okay, all you have commanded us, we will do in verse 16. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses, we will obey you. They're basically saying, we are with you. So because of Joshua's boldness and his ability to take action and his movement forward, then the people under him, they got remotivated. And as we'll see in later chapters, they rededicate themselves in a pretty drastic way. Okay. Mm-hmm. Once they cross over the river, I think we need to talk about that, because we never got to it in Colossians.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Because it is a New Testament theme too.
Right. And it was a very physical and drastic way. Spoiler alert, it involves circumcision of adult men.
Yes.
But the point is that they rededicated themselves, and that was all because they had, you know, the faithfulness of Joshua. So it's a little bit of a trickle down too, right? So we have to recognize that God is good and he is faithful. And sometimes we forget that. And I think being under, one of the takeaways from this that just kind of came to my mind is being under a spiritual leader that can encourage you in that is one way in which to build your own faith. And so finding that person, whether it's a mentor, whether it's a pastor, or hopefully you have more than one who is walking in faith, they can encourage you to do the same.
Yeah, that's a really big takeaway. You know, the thing that stood out to me in this chapter, well, there's a lot of things that stood out, but one of the interesting things, just kind of as a follow-up to what you're saying, is right there in verses 12 to 15, where
Joshua told the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh to remember the word that the Lord had spoken and to basically help their brothers take the land. So if you don't remember, these tribes had settled on the other side of the Jordan. They did not cross the Jordan. They had decided they were not going to go into the promised land. Mm-hmm. They were going to stay on the other side of the Jordan. But Joshua said, okay, you guys have chosen this side of the Jordan, but you gave your word to help your brothers take possession of the promised land. And so we need you to join the club here and go with us into this battle of Jericho. And they did. And that is significant to me because sometimes thinking about my kids, I tell them frequently, I want you to go further than I ever am able to go. And I want to propel my kids to have a deeper walk with Christ than I ever did, you know, and to use their influence better than I ever have. And I just see here in this chapter, these brothers are getting behind their other brothers and they're saying, I'm going to help you reach your goals. I'm going to help you, you know, gain the ground that God has given you to gain. And I think that is such a significant part of being in the body of Christ is to help others fulfill their potential in Christ. You know, it's not just self-serving. It's not just about how far I can get or the promises that God has given me. It's about helping others see the promises that God has given them too and helping them fulfill them. So I get really passionate about that because that fires me up. I love seeing other people like go do more than I can do, you know, go take the baton and run hard and fast, you know, for the glory of God.
And that's a great takeaway too. And really all these people are doing that too, because they have taken the baton, and that's what Joshua's done.
Yes.
Joshua's taken it. And can you just imagine, I mean, Moses, how long he led, and then he knew I'm passing the baton over to Joshua to actually fulfill, to see the promise fulfilled.
Yes.
And so Moses had that exact same thing that you're talking about right now. And I don't know what he felt about it, but my guess is he felt the same way you did, because he trusted God and he knew, okay, this was not on me to take this last step, but I am commissioning you, my brother, my brother in Christ, my son in Christ, basically, because Joshua was like a son to him. And he felt that same way. And so sometimes we're on the side where we are encouraging others to go forward. Like AJ's talking about, sometimes we're on the side where we have to walk through the river. We have to get through it. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. There's so much to talk about in these chapters. But just in chapter one, just this one chapter, just all these little words that God spoke to his people, and he's speaking to us today. So wherever you fall in this, whatever God is speaking to you through this, and as you read Joshua 1, which we encourage you to do, just remember his faithfulness and remember his goodness and remember that wherever you are, whichever side of the Jordan that you're on right now, he is with you. He is with you. And you can be strong because of the strength of Christ in you.
That's right. That's right. And you know, our challenge, Jen threw it out earlier, read through Joshua chapter 1 today. And as you read through, just identify the promises that God spoke to Joshua, because he's the same God and the same promises apply to us. You know, you will find many of these promises repeated in the New Testament for us as believers in Christ. And so just take some time to identify what those things are. And what it means for you and how it can transform your walk of faith, how it can prompt you to action.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And we will see you guys next week. We're going to talk about some other cool things in Joshua. Recognize this is more than a story. It is a story. It is true, but it is so much more than a story. This is the word of God. This is God speaking to you. And so I love the Old Testament because I love the narrative of the Old Testament, and I love how God speaks to us through it. So So we look forward to hearing from you. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you leave us a like, leave us a review, leave us all that kind of stuff, let us know that you're listening.
Yes.
That
encourages us.
It really encourages us to know that you're listening, and we look forward to being back with you in your ears next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey guys, it's AJ here with a personal question. Do you ever long to connect with other women over God's word? If so, I'd like to personally invite you to be part of our online Bible study community. Sojo Academy is where Jen and I meet via Zoom every week with our global community to discuss God's word, pray, and share what we are learning with each other. In Sojo Academy, you'll get a fresh Bible study every month, as well as weekly meetups, Bible journaling kits, accountability, community, and an entire library of workshops and Bible study tutorials. Jumpstart your walk with God and come hang out with us live this week. Visit sojoacademy.com and we'll see you inside.